Hey guys, Jimmy McKinney with Serverside, and we got a special guest today, Randy Kreider. Randy, he doesn't live too far away from headquarters, but this is your first time up here.
Yep, about an hour away.
Yeah, and tonight, Randy, you're going to talk about what?
Fletching arrows, starting from hunting arrows to, if you want to shoot competition, competition arrows.
So let me throw a plug for Randy. Randy is an ASA champion. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Last year was the first year they had the PA State ASA. I shot a qualifier, and then I went out Western Pennsylvania and shot the finals and ended up first.
Awesome. So basically what I'm trying to say is Randy knows his stuff. We talked a little bit about this before setting up, and I'm pretty mind blown about some of the differences. Apparently blazer vanes are not the only thing out there anymore. And so we're going to go down a couple rabbit holes, but we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff from competition to hunting in general.
All right, Randy. So take us through the various fletching tools that you got there.
Yeah. The most common fletching jig out in the market is the Blitzenberger. There's three different clamps you can get for them. There's your main one, which most people are going to use, is your straight clamp. This will fletch your straight and your left or right offsets. If you want to get crazy and do some heel coils, they have a left and a right heel coil clamp.
Mm-hmm.
And that, what a heel coil is, if you don't know what a heel coil is, it puts more of a twist on the fletching on the shaft itself. Most people don't do that unless they're shooting either recurve.
Traditional
stuff. But then there's also other ones out in the market. This is a grayling jig. It's very inexpensive. It comes with a straight clamp. You can buy the offset clamp separately for them. And it's all plastic, where the Blitzenberger is all cast.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely longevity of the Blitzenberger is going to last you a lifetime. If you buy one, you're never going to have to buy another one again. The grayling is nice if you're going to take it somewhere and you go, oops.
I forgot it. Yeah.
They're like $40 compared to, I'm not sure. These are like 80 or more brand new. And they only come normally with the one clamp.
Let's rewind real quick. So what are some of the benefits to offset versus straight versus helical?
Biggest thing with as you can see on this arrow here, it has a slight offset. And this arrow here has more of an offset. It gives you a lot of spin.
So you're going to get more spiral in the arrow.
Yes. And the big thing I always tell people, when you first get your arrows, before you fletch them, put a black mark on the bear shaft. Shoot it through your bow.
Mm-hmm.
Step about 5-10 feet back and see which way your bow is twisting your shaft. Most people have the misconception of, oh, I'm a right-hand shooter. I'm going to right offset my arrows. Well, in most cases, most bows that shoot right-handed spin the arrow left.
Mm-hmm.
And if your arrow spins left coming out of there, when you shoot in the target, you'll be able to tell which way that black spot has rotated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're so only like 5 feet away from it.
So it doesn't spin the whole rotation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, correct. And that will tell you which way you need to go with your fletching. My bow spins them left. I'm a right-handed shooter, and not all right-hand bows will spin them left.
I've always heard that it's the twist of the string.
It is. It depends on who builds the string.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's the big thing. If it's done by a machine, then it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
They run them all the same. And that's why if you look at any of my arrows here, you can see them. I have a left offset on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you explain to the dummy over here that doesn't? I understand the helical thing and the twist, but what is a left and right offset? Like, what's the offset?
What happens is you start on the back of the shaft.
Okay.
And that's your center point.
Yep.
And this is a left offset. So if you look down the vane here.
Yeah.
It's going left.
To left.
So that's not a helical.
No, this is
okay. So I always thought that was some sort of a helical. So what's the difference with the helical?
The helical will actually wrap it
much more.
Way more.
Okay. So most fletchings you look at are not just straight, they're offset.
Most. Unless you buy them already pre-fletched.
Yeah.
If you buy them pre-fletched.
Pre-fletcher, they come just straight.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, some companies will put an offset on them. Most times they will say that they're offset. And most of them are usually right offset.
Yeah.
So you want to be aware of that when you do buy pre-fletched arrows.
Got it. So what we're looking at here, this is a left offset.
Yes, correct.
Because it starts here and then it veers to the left, looking from the back of the arrow where it would be knocked to the straight.
Correct.
Okay.
If you were doing a right offset, it would start at the back here and go the opposite direction of this one here itself.
Got it.
So it would go to the right side of the arrow shaft from the center point of where you started.
And then what you're saying then with that mark, you want the offset to follow which way it naturally turns.
Right,
and
correct.
Just putting rotation
and
into it.
What happens with that is when your bow spins your arrow out of there, it'll try to spin away from the riser. That's the best scenario. It will start, if you have an offset, it starts your rotation quicker.
Faster. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where you want to have like a drop away rest where there's no touching then.
Correct. If you use a whisker biscuit, you probably want to shoot a straight shaft.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. Yep.
Or a very slight offset.
Very slight.
Yeah.
Like a 1 degree.
Yeah. 1 degree.
You wouldn't want to go more than
one. No. Degree. This here, that's about a 4 degree.
Yeah. I was going to say that's offset there.
Yeah, that's pretty far. This one here, since it's a micro shaft, you can't get as far. It's about 2 degree offset. On a full size shaft, it's not going to be as noticeable as it is with that. Plus, with the longer vanes, it's going to be more noticeable.
And with these clamps here, so this clamp is straight, but you can set the offset with the jig.
On the back of this jig here, there's marks here. There's one up here, and there's one on the back side here.
Yep.
And what you do is on this one, you undo these, and you turn these here.
Okay. So you just have a little Allen set screw.
Yes. And now the grayling just has turn knobs.
Okay.
And there's marks all up and down the front here and the back here.
Yep.
And that gives you your offset.
Okay.
And what I normally do is before I fletch one, I will take this. I use a clamp. If you have a table, you can screw it down to it. But I take one of my fletchings that I'm going to use. I take it, my clamp, and each of these clamps have marks on the back here.
Right.
Always start your vane at the same spot where you want to start. Now, it's different for everybody. If you have a certain vane and a certain fletch, it may hit your face. You might need to move it forward more. So just remember your marks here, and then you can go from there. Now, on these shafts, I know I do it on the second line up. So what I'll do is I'll take my vane, put it in there, and before I even put any glue in it, I'll set it down on my jig here and on the shaft and make sure it's making good surface contact.
And so you want to make sure it's touching in the front and the back, correct?
Yes, correct.
And if it's not going to be touching in a place, most likely it's usually the front, right? Because you have too much of an offset on it.
Correct. And what you can do from there then is loosen your adjustments and move your offset.
Right.
What I always do is if I know my center point in the back, I'll just loosen that one just a hair so it barely moves. Then I'll loosen the front one so I can move it whichever way I need to. And that's how you can build your offset for your arrow shaft.
I mean, this is awesome. In just 5 minutes, like we just learned, anybody can just go get themselves a jig. They can go take a bare shaft, shoot it 5 feet, see which way their arrow is rotating, and they can figure out how to actually dial in better tunability with, just that simple thing right there. That's awesome.
And another thing what you can do is some bows don't like to shoot a heavy offset, some of the shafts. It all depends on your spine, how your shift flies. Yeah. So fletch one, shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, if you got your fletching G, cut your fletchings off.
Go back.
Try a different offset.
Yep.
You know.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, so, that's what I did a lot.
So, and the most part, you would say like less is more. Like, don't start off getting crazy with a helical or nothing. Like, just right. A little bit of offset and making sure it's going the correct direction to your bow.
Yes.
Is going to be a game changer.
Yeah. And that, I mean, the big thing with the direction of your bow, if you are shooting a bow that spins one left and you have a right offset on,
right.
You're indoors, you're going to be fine because okay. you're 20 yards.
Right.
USA Archery, their line is 18 meters, which is just under 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But the arrow doesn't have time to correct itself.
Right.
It's when you get out longer distances, then you see your arrow doing something what they call parachuting.
Okay.
And you see that back of that arrow going like this.
And now you know you have a problem.
It's trying to correct itself because you're trying to force it to spin one way. And it wants to naturally spin a different direction. And it will correct itself at a distance.
Yeah.
But you're cutting speed down
right.
of your arrow shape. And that's especially if you're hunting or if you're shooting 3D, like IBO, where they do unknown yardage. You don't want to cut your speed at all because the faster your arrow is, the faster impact you're going to make and the less your pins are going to be separated less pin from gap,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, for hunting, the real, real big main point to take home is when you get that parachuting, your penetration gets sucked out the window.
Yeah. It takes so much of that energy down
yep.
of that arrow that's you're trying to get that animal. And anybody who's a hunter wants to make the most ethical shot. And if you're taking that energy away from your arrow, you're not doing your job.
Right. Yep, exactly. So why don't you talk? I see you had a couple more fletching tools there. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I forgot the jig, but I also have a boning big jig, and they come with plates. You snap them down, and they either come with a straight or an offset. This is a 3-degree, and then this is a straight. They make a left or right offset one. And there's like a special tape that you put on these things. So the glue, if you press any glue out, it doesn't get stuck in here and you can't clip them down on. And then you got to pull your clip off and your vein's stuck to your clip.
Right, right. So is that what you learned to fletch with? Because I have the same one. I have the smaller one, but that's what I learned to fletch with. And then I ended up upgrading.
I actually bought one of these online and it didn't have the right configuration for what I wanted. So I actually first started, I went out and bought the grayling.
Okay.
So I bought one of these and all it had was a 4-fletch in it. And I like a 3-fletch for my shaft. It seems to work the best, and especially a micro shaft. You're probably not going to get 4 on there unless you do a straight vein on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and bought this and I'm like, you know, I'm going to try this. This is what I need to start with, something. If I can't do it, then I didn't have a lot of money invested into it.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Rainey, so why don't you walk us through some of the various glues that you have there?
Yeah. The glues I have, a lot of guys shoot out cert systems nowadays. I actually shoot the Black Eagle Deep Impacts. And this is what an out cert looks like, if you're not familiar with it. What it is your shaft is too small to actually take the field tip threads or a broadhead thread.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to put something on the front of this thing so you can get your threads in there. And they weighted them for most hunting purposes, gives you a weight forward. Most people don't realize, but there are different weight ones you can buy from Black Eagle. So if you don't want to go with the standard weight forward one, they make heavier ones.
Do you know what the standard weight is?
I shoot a 350 spine. It's different depending on the spine.
Okay. That makes sense.
These are 6.12s. I do have some that are 6.33s as well. I tried a little heavier. 6.12s seem to do
So they change, they match the outsert with the spine so that it stays in that 350 spine.
Yes, because the diameter is actually going to be different depending on your spine too a little bit. It's not a big difference, but the thing is, these are meant to fit tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you get one and you go to put it on there and it wiggles around in there, you know you have the wrong outsert on it.
Right. This is actually a super important topic, especially if guys are shooting outserts, because exactly what you said, if the tolerances aren't there, I mean, that's taking all the impact.
Yes.
On that outsert.
Yes.
So the glue, that is a very common question we have with the field staff. You know, what's the best kind of glue to use?
Right. And the best glue I found, I mean, I've tried different things. I've tried different epoxies. I've tried, like, this is a gold tip glue. It's made for inserts, which are these.
Which are, like, barbed.
Yes. Right. And these are just your standard inserts for a standard arrow. And
that's just super glue too, right?
It's pretty much super glue.
Yeah.
It does a phenomenal job with these.
Mm-hmm.
It sets up quick. But if you put this on an outsert, what happens is it gets too brittle in here.
Right.
And that impact breaks that glue down. And you go to pull it out of a 3D target, out of your block target at home.
It's the whole thing.
And you're like, where'd my insert go? Well, now it's stuck in your target. You're missing an insert. And you're buying another dozen inserts because you only can buy one at a time. Or a dozen at a time.
So that can be fixed simply with a glue?
Yes.
Okay.
I use a Black Eagle glue. That's the only thing I've found that works the greatest. I mean, you're spend a little more money, but you're not going to lose outserts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they sold a glue.
Yeah. If you go under their website and you pick your arrows, it has all the components down there.
Okay.
And this is one of the ones that is recommended for the outserts. You can use these for inserts too. So if you shoot a different shaft and you're like, oh, I got this glue, go ahead and use it. But you do have to let this sit and dry for a while because it is a slow setting glue compared to the high speed glues.
And if you're not running the Black Eagle system, you don't necessarily have to get that Black Eagle glue, but you do need to get that black glue. That black glue has it's almost like a rubberizing effect in it when it dries, and it's a shock absorber for the outserts.
Okay.
I was blowing them up with my arrows too, and the same thing. I switched over the black glue and it fixed it instantly.
There is a company out there, I forget who it is, that makes a black glue as well. And that's what it says right on it, outsert glue.
Mm. So what the heck is a black glue? I mean,
it's just,
I can see it's darker in color, but
yeah, it's a certain type of chemical that they use in it.
Okay.
Does it
have expansive properties to it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like several years ago, and this might be better than what it was, but it was an engineer with Muddy when they had the blood sports stuff was new. He said to use Gorilla Glue. Okay. Because it expands, and that way you'd have a real tight. Because like we said, if you don't have that perfect, and you got to realize we're talking, you know, a carbon tube essentially, and then a machine outsert, and the tolerances, they're not going to always be perfect.
No,
because there's times that you have to.
There's times you have to take. Now on this one here, you can see it goes in fairly easy, but I have this shaft sanded down pretty good, and I always sand my shafts before I put my outserts in.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit then.
And there's times where you actually have to take it on a table and smash it down in. That and that's right? actually the best case because it's that tight.
Right.
But the big thing is if you do that, you have to make sure it bottoms out.
Because it's getting square.
Yes.
Okay.
If you don't bottom out, then you're leaving gap in there too.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's even worse.
You're changing a different length.
Because then it has the ability to impact and break the glue.
Correct. What I always do is I take the finest sandpaper you can get, go over this shaft here, get it clean, and Black Eagle tells you, do not wipe this thing down before you put that glue and that outsert together.
So after you sand it, just leave the whatever residue there?
Yep, they tell you, do not. Now, I always clean them beforehand.
Okay.
That way it gets any oils that have been on your hands or anything like that off. I just use alcohol. There is cleaners out there you can use. And then I always use my arrow squaring device and take my shafts and just go over here like this. What it does is squares your ends up. Now, it's not as critical on your front end.
Okay.
As it is your knock end.
Really?
Your knock end is what they call the business end of your arrow. If you think about it.
I would have thought it's the other way around.
Well, think about
the
it.
The tip means business, you know?
You put that
watch
on,
when he finishes,
you
yeah.
put this knock on your arrow shaft. And if this arrow is not square when it's sitting on your string, your arrow is going to be up,
right,
down, left, or right.
Right off the bat, yeah.
And how's it going to come out of your bow? Funny.
Right.
And then it just gets amplified after that.
Yeah.
The farther out you go, the worse it's going to get.
Wow. Okay.
So you talk to any competitive archer, and they will tell you your knock end is your most important end on your arrow shaft.
That's amazing. Because all you hear on people online is what's the best broadhead, blah, 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 blah. And they're skipping all the other stuff.
Because if you even look on here, on my competition arrows,
yep,
I use what they call a knock bushing.
Yeah.
And it takes a pin knock. And I'm not even going to be able to pull that off of there. But what this is, it protects your shaft. You got three guys shooting into a 3D target.
Oh, yeah.
It hits.
And they're knock hunting.
It hits here.
Yep.
It pushes your arrow off. It doesn't break your arrow.
Okay.
And this has to be totally square because this machine surface is totally square.
Okay. And then you know that you have a square seal right there. That's awesome.
And it doesn't take many times to go to run your arrow on your ASD. The best thing you can
ASD,
do.
ASD, arrow squaring device.
Correct. Best thing you can do is take a Sharpie. Put a Sharpie mark on there. Sand this thing till that Sharpie mark's gone.
It's gone.
If you see a little spot over here, stick that thing back in there or you're not square.
You know, right.
You keep rolling that thing in there.
So it's gone.
It's gone.
And you're using a G5.
Yes, G5. Luminoff makes one as well. There are a few other ones out there too. Some of them you can actually do. The Luminoff you can actually do with your fletchings on.
Okay.
It sticks up high enough where you can square it.
More clearance.
Yeah. So if you buy a shaft and you're afraid to fletch your own shafts, still I would recommend to square this in because they don't square them from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
So you pull that knockoff, you get an arrow squaring device that you can use with the fletchings on.
Yeah.
Square that shaft up. Put your knock back in. You're going to be better in the long run.
Awesome.
And the thing with the G5 ones, so they have two different sides for squaring your arrows.
Okay.
And I run Victory arrows, and I'm running the Extortions. It's stainless and carbon wrap.
Yes.
So I need a different end.
I need that back side.
It has
to
It has a cutting edge for any metals, and then it has a diamond disc.
This one is too.
Which is replaceable. You can get new ones. And if you need to clean the sides up, I know say you cut them and there's a little bit of a burr on the sides. You can actually take this out here. It comes with the Allen. It goes in the side here. You run it down.
You put this on roll your shaft in about 5 seconds.
Sides up.
Reset it.
You pull your clamp off. You're good to go.
Yeah, that's a cool little device.
Now,
I was looking at that earlier. I'm like, you know, I've seen these in the catalogs.
They're expensive.
They are. I thought they were this big piece of equipment, but that fits me all.
I clean the back.
But what it does is pretty.
After I cut them all and square them all, I clean them. If you don't have one of these and you're building arrows, I do. In my mind, you're not building the best arrow
built. In order.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah. So my first one that I did is going to be the first one drop.
Let's rewind back.
So that's the first one
we
grab and start fletching. If it still looks damp,
front end of the arrow
don't fletch it.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about
whatever amount of time you need to. Yes. Because if you still have alcohol in there, your glue's not going to stick.
I'm running the AAE shafts, and
I
recommend that you have to use a prep
Bobsmith
or the prep
Industries
head.
The primer. Yes.
Yeah, the primer before you can.
You can use a primer on these, but these were made to use. I use a Q2 I vein. They are made to use. You don't need a primer.
Mm-hmm. Because I tried to get away without using the primer.
And
instead of buying the $12 pen.
I have some boning heat veins here too, and they were manufactured to be able to do without a primer. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that run the AEE beans, and they tell me the same thing. You are not going to fletch them unless you prime them.
Yep.
But the big thing with the Q2Is, whether it's the smaller beans or the longer beans, they have a special material on the base of them. They're a dual material vein. The black bottom is different than the actual vein itself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They were specially engineered. And me personally, I found the shield cut works the best for me. If you look at the heat veins, they are just a rounded one in the back.
More like your blazer.
Yes. They are made by the same company as Blazer. You can see the shape of them.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the Blazer. It's a little longer vein for more control at longer distances, but they cut the height of it down so you won't get that parachuting effect of your arrow wobbling out longer distances.
Are the heat pretty new, or they've been out for a while?
These were new last year.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, it seems like the Blazers are kind of the industry standard.
They are. For a while. And don't get me wrong, I've shot Blazers for years. They shoot great.
Yeah.
You get out over 30 yards, though, is where they comes more into play, the height of them.
Right. Well, I'm attracted to this heat thing, but, you know, like, Torn, like, when we were kids, like, Blazers were, like, this new, smaller fletching.
Yes.
And what I don't understand is, like, how did it take this long to realize you can do a smaller one yet?
Yeah. Well, there's ones that are even smaller than this out
really?
There yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's ones that are super tiny and don't even look like there's hardly anything up off of here.
But that's kind of like what we were talking before we got on the mics here was I was talking about running that six fletch system, and those were the veins I was talking about.
With six of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do different combinations of fletching. You can do a three fletch, four fletch, six fletch. There's actually a good video out on YouTube. I forget who it was made by, and they did comparisons between different fletching configurations on how many veins they actually had on the back end. And the more veins you have on the back end of your arrow, the more control you're going to get out of your arrow. Okay. A lot of guys who shoot, pro shooters that shoot the unknown open class in ASA and stuff like that, they'll shoot a four fletch because it does give you a little more control than a three fletch. But they are shooting out to 45 yards.
Right.
And they need to be more precise of what they're shooting because they're shooting at potentially about a quarter size circle or smaller.
Right.
What I've noticed in the difference from like a hunting standpoint is the loudness in the veins.
Yes. Okay.
So like Brett was shooting standard Blazers and I think he was shooting at like, I think we were shooting like at 80 yards and I was standing by the garage. And when I hear the arrow come by, it literally sounded like a missile,
yeah,
like a heat seeking missile. It was super, super loud.
Yeah.
And then I shot mine. He said it was loud, but it wasn't that loud.
Right. But you're trying to compare what you guys haven't heard the other.
Cutting down the height of them. Blazer actually makes a shorter Blazer now.
Okay.
Because of the noise. But if you actually get a shield cut in the back end, that helps reduce noise too.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps steer the arrow as well. So it's doing two different things. And the thing is, when you shoot at an animal, and there's a lot of times where people say, oh, they jumped the string. They can hear that arrow.
They can most certainly hear the arrow.
So that's part of it too. You know, it's not just that string jump, they hear a noise, especially at longer distances.
But like I said, when we were shooting at 80 yards, I could hear Brett's arrow right off the bow.
Yeah.
Like, I could hear the... It literally sounded like a jet flying by.
So, at the ATA, and I just had to look this up to reference it. At the ATA show this year, I saw a new company called Silent Night.
Oh, okay.
And if I recall correctly, I'm trying to look it up here in Lancaster Archery. They came out with their own fletching that's supposed to be so many decibels quieter than like your Blazers and stuff.
Well, and that's like there's another company, I don't know if you ever heard of Tac Beans.
Okay.
Levi Morgan worked with them.
Yeah.
and they did the same thing. They're trying to cut noise down to your.
I mean, this is a super cool concept because I mean, forget the competition side. Like, let's talk about hunting, right? Yeah. When you have a buck or a doe or whatever for that matter, and you're shooting at it, let's just say you don't connect. I mean, doesn't the sound, you hear like a freight train, right? Coming at you, you know, isn't that going to scare the crap out of the deer? Like, where maybe something that's not as loud, it might not know as much what's going on. So,
Certainly. So
it almost makes, I mean, it makes sense. And I don't know many people have actually looked into that. And then maybe that's an independent test we can do in the future, you know, with a mic just to pick up how many decibels.
I have seen some people do different things, and they'll put a microphone down range.
Yeah.
Fairly close to the target, but that way they can hear the arrow.
Right, and you can monitor the decibels. Yeah. We could do that with the Yeti mic or something, I'm sure. So that's pretty wild. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All kinds of cool stuff and something. I mean, the average person doesn't even think about the fletching.
And if you do shoot 3D, I know you do for recreational. I mean, whether you shoot it for recreational or whatever, if you ever hear a guy miss. And you can hear that arrow going through the woods.
Oh, yeah. Up at PA Forksville?
It's the veins you're hearing.
It's the veins. Okay.
Yes.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was downrange, I'm telling you, man, it's like something, it's unbelievable. You don't guess ever again. You're like, holy crap, that's exactly why deer like are ducking.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Your bow does make noise.
Right.
They see reflections. They see reflections of your movement or your bow moving.
Yeah.
And things along that lines as well, which everything can be contributed to what they call string jump. Mm. I mean, whether it's they hear the fletching coming through.
Yeah. And while we're on this, since this is Whitetail Theories podcast, the big thing is that guys got to remember when you have an animal come in, and you have to learn as a hunter to read their body language, because if they come in and they're a little stiff legged or the hair's a little bristled up or they look on edge, that's when they're going to jump your string, especially because they're already alert.
Yeah.
But yeah, doing some of these changes that we're talking about can reduce that too.
If you ever want to watch a really good video on a deer jumping the string, I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Deer.
Oh, yeah.
He has a YouTube video where they actually figured out the time a deer can jump a string, and they drop a balloon and they do a test of where you're actually aiming till your arrow hits where that balloon moves. And you believe the crazy amount of drop compared to your yardage. I mean, you think you'd actually have to be out a lot further, but you don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the Charles guy that passed away, Dr. Deer?
No.
Is he the one that got that name?
I don't think so. I think that's the dude from Texas. He's still alive. He does like Growing Deer TV and stuff.
Yeah. Yep. That guy. Yeah.
Well, Grant Woods does
that's
that.
That's who it is. Yep. Grant Woods.
Okay.
It was him that did the study?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a pretty good YouTube video I seen he did on that. And it's just amazing how much drop. And they had it timed with it, and they did a computer to release the balloon as when the arrow dropped and all. I mean, it was crazy how they did that. So.
Yeah, it is nuts. That's I think incredible. I've seen that before. Yeah. So moving on here, what's the scale for?
What I always do at the end of fletching all my arrows is I put them on a scale, weigh them. Even though you fletched them all the same, did all the same thing, a little more glue here, a little more glue there, can change the weight of your arrow.
For sure.
And arrows are measured in grains. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to do, whether I'm shooting competition or I'm shooting deer, the arrows I have closest to the same weight I mark. Fortunately, I've been lucky enough, most of mine come out to be the same, but in some cases they're not. I mean, the scale is fairly accurate, but if you're very, very minimal off, they might weigh the same on the scale, but weigh a little different. It's not going to change a ton in your shooting, but you'll be more consistent the more closer they weigh to each other. So this arrow here, I believe it was this one that I weighed, was 434 grains, and most of mine were right on the money. They're the ones, if I'm using to shoot
a tournament or
shooting deer, I will shoot them consistently. I'll keep three and I'll shoot target, and the ones that are just like them, I'll keep them off the side for hunting. That way I know where my pin is where my arrow should hit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whether I screw up.
Can't blame anything but you.
You know, yeah. You know, you want your equipment to be the same as everything else.
Yeah. So you sort the arrows based on the number of grains and make sure that they're the same.
Yes.
So that brings me my question. Arrows that are measured for their tolerances in to the thousandth, right? Yes. Like Black Eagle, for example, a lot of companies, they'll do like a 1,000th tolerance, yep, or a 3,000th.
Correct.
Does that matter to you?
It does. It didn't used to.
Okay.
But I've noticed over the years, they do fly better the closer the tolerance are.
Yeah.
If you buy a target shaft, you can't buy it in anything less than a 0.001.
Right. They want you to have...
Yeah, it's the closest top. And there's a reason. Because these guys are trying to shoot a target like that. You
right.
know?
Dime size.
So if you're trying to do that, and you're shooting out part of their distances, let's say you go out shooting elk and you're shooting 65 yards. Well, if an arrow's tolerances are bigger, it changes everything the farther out you go.
Sure.
No matter what it is, weight tolerance, how your veins are fletched, anything like that. For every so many inches you move your target out, the greater movement you have back at your release, or how your arrow comes out of your bow, is going to be amplified the farther out it goes.
Right. Your margin of error increases the yes. further the target. Yeah.
So, you know, the closer you can get, and most times it's not a whole ton of money difference right. between yeah. the 0.03s than the 0.001s.
Right.
You know.
So, personally for me, I always say, you know, and I'm not really a cheap person, but I'm like, I don't shoot good enough that I feel that I need the 0.001s. And I can see in target shooting, especially where it's like a right. mind game, right? Like, you want everything in your favor. But, like, that's why I didn't know for hunting purposes if that mattered to you.
Yeah. If you're hunting whitetail and you're 30 yards and under, it's not going to be that big of right. a deal. But if you're going out in your dream hunt to shoot an elk
yeah.
and you have a chance at 60 yards and you feel comfortable because you've been practicing at 60 sure. yards, you know, me personally, I want the best equipment behind me
yep.
that I'm going to shoot.
Give your slight edge.
Yeah.
One of the things that you can do too is, so if, let's say you are on a budget or whatever, you can take a spin tester mm-hmm. and you can spin these arrows at a 3,000 straightness, and you can see a wobble on one or the other and cut that end
yeah.
and tighten that tolerance up. And you can actually get to almost a match grade arrow
yeah.
just by doing that at the 3,000. So you can usually cut them out.
Certain arrows, though, too, you have to watch because you can change the spine, too, if you cut off the back end.
Yeah, right. Depending on the yeah. arrow, yeah.
So you do have to be careful of that.
Like those new Eastons where they're tapered.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I've heard people say, like, you should cut them both ends. Or, I mean, obviously, if it's tapered, it's going to make a difference. Yeah. But how do you know when you can or cannot do that, just for the audience?
If you shoot a tapered shaft, there's no way you can cut off.
Well, how many shafts are tapered, though? That's a pretty...
I only know the Grizzly Stick and the yeah. Easton.
So that's kind of rolled out. So let's just talk about in general.
What I would suggest, if you're close to your spine, what you're shooting out of your bow, I would not cut off the back end. Because okay. you can change your spine.
That's where you're saying it's measured, the spine in the back?
Your spine is your stiffness.
Okay.
Okay? And that's your overall stiffness. And that's... They make these from 31 inches long. So that's how they figure the spine.
Okay.
So your shaft at 31 inches is going to be 350. This is a 350. So that's a 350 spine. And as I cut it down, it off the front end, it doesn't affect it that much. But when you start cutting off the back end, I've been told that really affects your spine.
Okay. So I'm just playing the devil's advocate. And obviously, I'm not the expert. But like, if you have a fixed length, whether you cut the front or the back, to me, I don't see where the physics comes in. But maybe Torn, you can chime in.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I was under the understanding that you can cut both sides before the arrow is built, and you can still get that straightness out of it. It just depends on like where you're building it, because the spine's always going to be in the middle of the arrow. That's where it's going to be flexed.
Right. So whether you cut the front or the back,
the only way that
changing the center point
is if you make it way shorter.
But there are some arrows, like I used to shoot Carbon Express Mayhem Hunters.
Okay.
And you have that weight forward in it.
Well, that's they what were weight forward, when you have
but they
wraps.
Were also reinforced backs.
Yeah, see, that's different. Or you have like the Maxima Reds, right?
Yeah.
That's gonna make a difference too. You don't want to necessarily mess with the back.
I mean, okay. This one, I mean, before I would do it, me personally, I'm not that in tune with that. I would talk to a pro shop and say, hey, you know, we're called Black Eagle. You can email them. They're very good with their customer service.
Yeah.
And say, hey, does it make a difference if I cut off the back end of this thing?
Okay.
I know people who do that with target arrows to chain spines, and they also put heavier weights in the or tips in the front to break what they call break a spine. So if you're shooting a stiffer arrow, you want to make it weaker, you can shoot a heavier front.
Add more weight.
And that's another thing guys have to look into too. And I see a lot. Guys are trying to shoot a heavier broadhead up front.
Mm-hmm.
But they're already on the cusp of what their arrow weight or spine should be for the weight of their bow.
Right.
And when you put that heavier tip on the front, it's going to weaken your arrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and guys want to shoot a really light arrow for speed.
And that can affect flight, anything. Tunability. Okay. If you're not shooting the right spine out of your bow, you can be shooting. If I don't know if you ever heard of paper tuning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see if people don't paper tune, I think you should do it. A lot of people I know, and I didn't do it in my younger years, shoot through paper.
Right.
And you
five
can
feet
see,
in front of the end, see where the tip goes.
Yeah.
You and see, the fletchings.
You see where
knock.
Where your tear is.
Yeah.
And you adjust your rest, your whatever you need to from there. Some newer bows, like Matthew's bows, have what they call a top hat system where they can shim the cam over left to right.
Okay.
Their new Bowtex, they have a little knob you can Allen set you can loosen, and then you can actually turn and move your cam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of innovations with that. The new Elites, they actually tilt the limbs on the riser and everything like that.
Okay.
There's all different kinds of things out there now to get tunability out of these
that
bows.
That is wild. So, yeah. So we kind of hit like a speed plateau with these bows and stuff, but they're getting more tunabilities.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the big thing nowadays, which these manufacturers are trying to do, is tunabilities with these bows. So it makes it easier at the bow shops or your normal person if you can tune your own equipment. You know, the Elite ones, it just takes Allen wrenches, and you can adjust how your cam lean is and all that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's great. But once it's set, you shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to
tinker with it, right?
The biggest thing is, once you get a new bow, don't think everything's set right away.
Definitely
because
not.
Once your string stretches.
Yeah, I was gonna say, especially with factory strings.
Yes, it changes things a little bit. You know, if you go out there and let's say you shoot 100 arrows, and all of a sudden you notice you start shooting right or left. Yeah, your string stretched now. Okay. And it's not going to, once it gets stretched to a certain point, it's not going to overstretch.
Right, that's where it's at.
Yeah. So you might have to retune your bow a little bit after that.
Yeah. So that's a great thing. I mean, guys, you know, middle of the season, they get a different bow. Yeah. They shoot it a little bit. And then in the off season, then they get all flustered and they start shooting it like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. They start changing all kinds of stuff.
And one big thing too is cam timing when a string stretches. If you shoot your bow a lot, you need to take it to your pro shop if you don't have the equipment to do it and check your cam timing.
Okay. Now, how much does that apply on these newer bows? Most bows, is there timing issues with the newer bows too?
All dual sync bows,
yeah.
Whether it's a Darton, a Matthews, whoever uses a dual sync type cam, they are synced. So your cam timing is very critical, you know. And the thing is, if one of them's fast, you always want your top cam fast.
Okay. So let me understand. So I thought the dual sync technology was that it can't get out of sync. You're saying that there's adjustability to that?
Yes.
How does that work?
By your yoke system.
Okay.
Yeah. They put twists on the strings and stuff like that. To get them back in tune.
Got it.
And that's all it has to do with string stretch. And it's very simple, easy to do. Most of your bow manufacturers now use pretty good strings. So, you know, they don't stretch like some of the strings you used to back in the days.
You have that big rubber peat thing to line your string up to you and everything else.
And that's one reason they did use that rubber tube on a peep. You know, most times now you get a peep on there, you don't need that tube.
Right. It's just going to come right to your eye. So. Sweet.
All right, so let's build some arrows.
All right. No, we can do this here. Do you have a toothpick by chance?
Sure.
No.
We'll
do the toothpick trick. You ever learn that one?
I don't think I have.
There you go, sir.
Yep, thank you.
What? I'm stuck with you, Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I sent her a message. I said, do I need to go home first, or are you going to get home in time and take care of the animals and stuff? Of course, she's like, I won't be home till late today. So I ran home and I did that quick. I got out of work a little late and I ran home, did that quick. And then she's like, well, you sent me a message. You were working on somebody. I'm like, no, I didn't.
Well, your boy's old enough. He can kind of take care of himself now.
Well, he was with her grandparents.
Oh, okay.
He's 11, so.
Yeah, he's like right there.
Yeah. I mean, he was with her grandparents.
He's old enough to get himself in trouble, is what he's right.
Oh, yeah.
To say. And no better.
Here, I want to move this. I don't like this setup.
Now, let me pause this one, make a new clip.